How we do it, hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show live in Atlanta today as we are at the national championship game. Getting set, coming up in a few hours. Ohio State, Notre Dame, who's going to take it all tonight? We welcome you in across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, now moving to channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. A lot of college football, a lot of NFL. This is a football show on a championship Monday and also coming off what was a very, very, very fun divisional round weekend. You know, there's been a lot of weeks this year in the NFL where I get it on a Monday, and you're always fired up to do a show on a Monday, but you go, football wasn't that great. Well, we got four good games, right? Chiefs and Texans was intriguing early. The referees were a storyline in this game, and the referees were absolutely horrible, but it's not the reason why the Texans lost, and we'll get into a little bit of that in just a second. You then just had, after that, the surprising upset on Saturday night, Commanders taking down the Detroit Lions. Then you follow into Sunday, snowy Philadelphia. Eagles find a way to prevail up against the Rams. And then last night, you had Lamar Jackson up against Josh Allen. And the Buffalo Bills make you want to shout. They make you want to jump through a table. And they are now going to Kansas City to see if they could find a way to take down the Kansas City Chiefs. They've done so four times in the regular season in their last four matchups. 4-0 in the regular season, but they can't get the job done in the postseason. Maybe that luck will change. Maybe, after so many years of being oh so close, they find a way to turn it around and they get the job done in advance of the Super Bowl, which will be in two to three weeks from now in New Orleans. We'll be down there in that first week of February down on Bourbon Street having a whole lot of fun in Nolens, going to get some good food, Café du Monde, and get a little beignet, and you get all the po' boys and a little turtle soup as well. So very much looking forward to heading down to New Orleans. But we're here in Atlanta today. We'll do a little national championship preview coming up in about 40 minutes from now as we have one final college game of the season, football game, and it's sad to see the college football season go. What has been a stupendous college football season this year. The regular season was really fun. We thought we had a bunch of big dogs, and everyone fell, and then they still got back up. The only team that didn't fall in the regular season was Oregon, and Oregon got smacked by Ohio State, but both these teams, really the definition of teams that have overcome adversity. Northern Illinois beat a Notre Dame in week two. Notre Dame hasn't lost a game since then. And then Ohio State, you thought it was it for that football team. And you thought that they weren't going to find a way to take advantage of the talent that they have. And they have a lot of talent. Now, it's not the greatest college football team of all time. So we can stop with that. They lost two regular season games. They have a lot of talent. We know that with the running backs, and we know how great Smith is and Abuka is, and all the phenomenal defensive players as well, Downs and Sawyer. But, like, just recently, did we forget about LSU? Like, LSU with Ed Orgeron and Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and all those defensive players, that was a better team. You forget about the U in the early 2000s. Let's just take it easy a little bit. Before some people say that this is one of the most talented college football teams that we've ever seen. It's a heck of a football team. It's a team that if they didn't go on this run and if they don't win tonight, it's a failure of a season. It's a squad where we go untapped potential and they didn't reach their potential if they don't win the championship tonight. But just the fact that they're able to turn around, because I thought they were just down and out after losing to Michigan. They blew out Tennessee, make you regain some confidence. Then they just totally just wiped out Oregon. I still can't, that to me is still the biggest stunner of the college football playoff. Like, I thought Notre Dame get the national championship game, and I predicted them to get the national championship game, and I never believe in Notre Dame, but I predicted them to get here before the start of the college football playoff. I had them going up against Oregon, and it's not that Ohio State won. It's just in the fashion that they did win. And then, hey, they weren't great in the semifinals. Sawyer made the big play when they needed to. It was a stupid play call by Sark on second and goal, and you pitch the ball 4,000 yards backwards when you only needed a yard or two. But still, that's what great football teams do. They win when they don't play their best. And how dominant Ohio State has been, if this gets into a track meet tonight, if this is a high-octane offense type of game, then Notre Dame's not going to win. But if Notre Dame could keep it tight, could kind of keep it tough, and make this a game where it's low scoring, it's sloppy, maybe not the greatest thing to watch, then Notre Dame has a chance in this football game tonight, especially with defense and special teams and how big their defense and special teams has been throughout the college football playoff with Xavier Watts. And then you look at the special teams too. Hey, that first college football playoff game, you had a big return. Up against, it was Georgia. They had the touchdown, the kick, the coming out of the second half. So we know the abilities by Notre Dame special teams. And then we saw what Jeter was able to do up against Penn State. Defense special teams, and don't turn over the football. That's a formula for Notre Dame tonight. But if this gets into a track meet and the defense isn't on for Notre Dame and Ohio State gets into the mid-20s, high-20s, then I just don't think Notre Dame has the pieces to win the game. We'll get back to the divisional round in just a second. 855-212-4227. That's the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram and Twitter at Zach Gelb. But we're giving you great locker room access, behind the scenes type of clips recently. Last week we were all over the AJ Brown stuff. Got a chance to talk to Saquon Barkley the other day, which has been really well received on the internet. He had high compliment and big time praise for Jalen Carter. You know, we'll be all on the scenes tonight in Atlanta for the national championship. Once the game ends, we'll be talking to a bunch of people, so you're going to want to see that content before we get on the air tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. But let's start things off in this 5 p.m. Eastern time hour. Bobby in South Carolina wants to chime in on the national championship game tonight. Bobby, what's shaking?
Hey, buddy. What is the temperature on the field going to be at game time?
Well, it's a dome.
That's right. I thought that, okay, it's not the baseball field where the Braves play.
No. This is Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's where the Falcons play, which, by the way, there is a Chick-fil-A in that stadium, and usually on Sundays it is not open because Chick-fil-A isn't open on Sunday. It will be open tonight, so maybe I'll stop at the Chick-fil-A tonight.
Okay, so you used to get a free Chick-fil-A if they hit a home run or something, right?
Yeah, I have no clue. Bobby, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. There is Bobby. Okay. That was that's like Barstool. I love Barstool, by the way. When you're watching Sports Advisors, which is the betting show with Stu Finer, Jersey Jerry, and then you also have Big Cat, and they go to the weather girl, Ashley. They're like, I know it's in a dome, but give me the weather anyway. But it's chilly here in Atlanta. I thought it would be warmer. I have a winter coat with me. It's 29 degrees. And 29 degrees right in New York City isn't always like frigid temperatures, right? Because we've seen a lot worse. 29 degrees in Atlanta, yeah, it's brick, as the kids would say. Anyway, let's get back to the divisional round. So when we get to the divisional round, when we go into the disappointment from the four losers, who do you blame the most for the loss? Lions, easy peasy. It's Jared Goff. You get paid like a franchise quarterback. There's a perception about you that you are a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, but now you're paid great quarterback money. You can't be fumbling the football, and you can't have not one, not two, but three interceptions. And I go back to that game, and I said this to John Jansen, who joined us earlier. I thought the biggest moment in that game, and this was the moment when I said, wow, the Commanders are going to do this. It's a 10-point game right before half. You are getting the ball back, the Commanders, to start the half. But the Lions have the ball, and they are moving down the field. They're down 10. You get a field goal, it goes down to 7. You get a touchdown, it goes down to 3. Mikey Sanders still made an enormous interception, and it was the first interception he had in the game. He ended up having 2. Jared Goff can't throw a pick there. You have to get points, because if you get a field goal, it goes down to 7. You make a stop coming out of half, and then you get a touchdown. Tie game, which is what you did. If you got a touchdown on that drive, right, that would make it to 3. You got to stop coming out of half. You either get a field goal or a touchdown, which you did. If you get the touchdown, then you take the lead. Even with how up and down that first half was, not getting points at the end of that first half was massive. Jared Goff was absolutely abysmal in the game. And that was the Sean McVay Jared Goff on why Sean McVay said, okay, we'll get Matthew Stafford, and we'll bring Matthew Stafford to L.A. We'll give you 2 first-round picks and Jared Goff because he's good. We could get far with Jared Goff, but you're not going to win the ultimate prize. And until Jared Goff, and if he ever does, is hoisted a Lombardi trophy, I don't care what he does in the regular season next year, right? Not that Jared Goff – is as good as Lamar Jackson or is as good as Josh Allen, right? As we've seen at times where you go, okay, regular season's good, but you got to get the job done in the postseason. Until Goff gets the job done in the postseason and is in a Super Bowl again and winning a Super Bowl, you're going to think of 13-3 Jared Goff, Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. You're going to think of Jared Goff with the number one overall seed home. You're up against the Lions. It's not like you lost to the Eagles, right? You're up against the Commanders, excuse me. It's not as if you lost to the Eagles the following week or Stafford comes back and stuns you, right? You lost to a rookie quarterback who is a star, who is a sensation, who is already a top five quarterback, in my estimation, in the NFL. But Jared Goff looked like a rookie. That's what Jared Goff looked like. Three interceptions and a fumble. He's the biggest reason why the Lions lost the game. Ravens, you could tell me you didn't like how John Harbaugh coached the game. You thought he went for it too early for two when he's down by two in the third quarter. You could tell me, hey, him and Monken didn't run the ball enough with Henry and Lamar Jackson, only 22 total carries between the two. You could tell me, hey, Lamar Jackson, interception, Lamar Jackson, fumble. All that stuff is true, right? There is blame to go around for John Harbaugh and also for Lamar Jackson. But if I'm saying who is the biggest reason and the biggest person that you look to and you play the blame game and it's like, oh, point the fingers at, it's not even close, folks. Even with all the miscues and maybe some of the mistakes that you thought Harbaugh and Jackson made, Lamar Jackson as the quarterback, John Harbaugh as the coach, they had that team get the ball in the end zone late, about minute 33 left, I think it was. They scored the touchdown. And you could say, oh, maybe run the ball there. Monken should have run the ball with either Henry or Jackson on the two-point conversion. You throw the ball to Mark Andrews. And Mark Andrews, the ball hits him right in the breadbasket, right in the hands. And he dropped it. You're not going to win the game necessarily there. You tie it. Your defense could still allow the Bills to march right down the field, get a touchdown or a field goal. Right? We'll see if Bass can make the kick if it was a field goal. I know he had a 50-something yard early in the game. But if you want to say, hey, Lamar's the biggest reason why they lost, or John Harbaugh's the biggest reason why they lost, you don't watch the game. It's Mark Andrews. Because Mark Andrews made a mistake earlier in the game in the fourth quarter. Down by five, they're driving, he catches the ball. You think he's going to run, and he fumbles the ball. But they survived that. What you can't survive is after you've made multiple mistakes in the game from Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson, and John Harbaugh, is when you are a two-point conversion, successful attempt away from tying the game, Lamar Jackson throws the ball, it goes to Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews has to catch that ball. Mark Andrews probably catches that ball 9.9999999 times out of 10. He did it in that spot. And he's the biggest reason why they lost. The Rams, this one's difficult. And I'm not someone that's like, oh, it's the weather. I think the biggest moment in that game, so the Rams got a safety on what was one of the dumbest play calls I've ever seen by Kellen Moore, where I would have ran the ball with Saquon Barkley. First and 10, Saquon goes up the middle, you get four. So you're second and six. Jalen Hurts has a bum leg, and I couldn't believe that they dropped him back there. I would have ran it again with Barkley, so that was a dumb play call. But also, when you snap the ball at the eight, how do you take a safety there? So, like, yeah, I could say it's a dumb play call. Also, Jalen Hurts, how do you take a safety there? So, after that, it's 16-15 Philadelphia. Rams get the ball back because it's a safety. And on first and 10, Kyren Williams gets 8 yards. And then on second and 2, Stafford goes to hand the ball off to Kyren Williams, and he fumbles the ball. You know, Jalen Carter made a great play on it, but it was a fumble. That, to me, is a moment where Kyren Williams got to hold on to that ball. And then him and Stafford also had a miscommunication later on in the game, too. But, geez, you have to hold on to the ball there. And not that the game is over there, because the Eagles only scored a field goal. It's 19-15. But I thought that was a big momentum shift where the building started to get quiet. They just allowed a safety. It's a one-point game. You got to go take the lead there. And Kyron Williams put the ball on the turf. Another great play made by Jalen Carter, by the way, who was just a beast in that game. And then the Texans. I've been really disappointed this year in C.J. Stroud. Last year, the way that we're talking about Jaden Daniels now are similar things that we said about C.J. Stroud last year. Sensational rookie season. The best we've ever seen. The foundation to do something really special next year. Right? They lost in the divisional round to the Ravens. I said going into the year, you could make the case he's the fifth best quarterback in football. Jaden Daniels really, though, has blown that out of the water. Because now he's in the conference championship game. He's better than C.J. Stroud. Right? Top five quarterbacks in the league, whatever order you want. Mahomes in there. Burrow in there. Lamar Jackson in there. Josh Allen in there. Fifth one. You want to go Stafford? Okay. Again. After that, NFC East, it's not Dak. It's not Jalen Hurts right now. Even though the Eagles could win the Super Bowl. NFC North, Sam Darnold, give me a break. Like, what are we doing? You know, it's not Jared Goff. After what he did the other night. It's like, you go through it. NFC South, I like Baker. But Baker's not a top five. NFC West, it's not Geno Smith. You know, I talked about Stafford. It's not Kyler Murray. You know, it's not Brock Purdy. AFC East, it's not Tua Tagovailoa. It's not Aaron Rodgers anymore. AFC North, Russell Wilson, forget about it. Come on, what are we doing? So you go through it, and you go through all these. AFC South, not CJ Stroud after this year. Not Trevor Lawrence. It's not Justin Herbert, missed 4 interceptions in the playoff game. It's not Bo Nix, who had a good rookie season. Jaden Daniels, top 5 quarterback in the league right now. But you look at why the Texans lost this game. The Texans defense probably did everything they could, if we're being honest. And the Texans offense, when that game was there for the taking the first half, just could do nothing. With how great your defense played, you can't go into the half only having 2 field goals. 13-6. And they got 2 points out of at the end of the game because it was a safety anyway, where the Chiefs just ran out of the back of the end zone. So you had 1 touchdown drive, and it was by Joe Mixon. The numbers on C.J. Stroud in that one, 19-28, 245 yards passing, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Stroud did have 6 rushing attempts for 42 yards, so he was a little bit more mobile than normal. That's just not championship football. That's not okay. That's a performance that you walk into Kansas City, you shut everybody up, and you punch a ticket to the AFC Championship game. So I look at the 4 players from the 4 losers from division round weekend. Lions, biggest reason they lost Jared Goff. Ravens, Mark Andrews. Rams, it was tough. I go Kyron Williams. And the Texans, I end up going C.J. Stroud. What say you? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. We'll do no-huddle offense coming up in 5 minutes. And then also, 20 minutes from now, we preview the national championship game tonight. It is the Zach Gelb Show live in Atlanta today. As we get you set for Notre Dame and Ohio State, we're coming on back in 5 minutes.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Stu, we start things off in Arrowhead with the Kansas City Chiefs up against the Houston Texans. I saw that Taylor Swift, to no surprise, was at the game. She was right next to Caitlin Clark. Did your girlfriend, who I know is a big Swiftie, you are a big Swiftie as well, did you guys enjoy Caitlin Clark sitting right next to Taylor Swift, just wondering?
Oh, yeah. That was the first. She actually pointed it out to me because I was like looking at my phone. She's like, oh, Caitlin Clark is with Taylor Swift. I'm like, oh, how about that?
Yeah, I heard that Mad Dog Russo is annoyed. You know, let me tell you something. Do I need to see Taylor Swift 3,000 times for crying out loud? Can I just make my bets, please? You know, one time, can I go a game without seeing her? And now you got Caitlin Clark. Like, who gives a rat's ass? You know, just give me my football, please. You know, I saw a headline. Mad Dog Russo upset with the Kelseys and Taylor Swift and Caitlin Clark. I don't know what he actually said, but that was the headline that I saw during the break. The Chiefs win 23-14. over the Houston Texans. So the Swifties prevail once again. Travis Kelce, one win away from going back to another Super Bowl, along with Big Red Andy Reid and Patty Mahomes. Kelce comes alive in the postseason. That's been it the last 2 years. Regular season's pedestrian. You know, for the Kelce standard postseason, he turns up 7 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown. Mahomes only 16 of 25 in the game for 177 yards and a passing touchdown. That's all he did need, though. Kareem Hunt had 8 carries for 44 yards and a touchdown. George Karlaftis was awesome with 3 sacks in the game. Chris Jones with the sack as well. Joe Mixon, 18 carries for 88 yards and a touchdown. Nico Collins, 5 for 81, and Will Anderson had 2 sacks in the contest. C.J. Stroud, as we were talking about, a very pedestrian 19 to 28 for 245 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, and 42 yards rushing. Let's listen up to the highlight. Kansas City Chiefs in the end zone. Patrick Mahomes to guess who? Travis Kelce Swift.
They have third down and goal to go at the 11.5-yard line of Houston. 3 receivers to the right. Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw. Light caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce owning this game. An 11-yard touchdown. Playoff Pat to playoff Kelce. And the Chiefs lead 19-12.
I like Mitch Holthus a lot. I was going to praise that call because I always love it. He goes, Kansas City. Playoff Pat is good. Playoff Kelce? We got to work on that. You know, maybe Mitch got to consult with Taylor Swift to come up with something that just sounds a little bit better than playoff Kelce.
Clutch time Kelce, maybe?
Clutch time Kelce? Yeah, I could clutch Kelce. We could ballpark something. Yeah. But I'm not the voice of the Chiefs. Like, if I was getting paid to be the voice of the Chiefs, I'd come up with something really damn good. Anyway, Stu, what's the question here?
Yeah, so for the Texans, do you view this season as a success or a failure?
Maybe he could have said Travis Kelce's feeling 22. Could have done something like that. Feeling all right? Do I consider the Texans season a success or failure? I can't say it's successful. Like, yeah, they won the division. The division stinks. Yeah, they made the playoffs again. But they were a team that broke out last year, and they were expected to make that next step. Now, I know that they got decimated with injuries. Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins missed some time as well. But they didn't take that next step, and they had an opportunity after a year that was rather boring and blah to walk into Kansas City and really give them a game. And, you know, it was a fight, but you never thought the Texans were going to win. That offense was disappointing. So if you make me say success or failure, I can't say it's a success, so it's closer to a failure than a success. When I take a look back at the Houston Texans season. All righty, next stop. The Texans couldn't find a way to get the job done up against the Chiefs, but Jaden Daniels found a way to get the job done at Ford Field, taking down the Detroit Lions. Jaden Daniels on a little screen pass to Terry McLaurin, and Scary Terry off to the races for a 58-yard touchdown.
First and 10, Washington, clear throw of 41-yard line. Snap to Daniels, quick throw to the opposite side. Terry McLaurin got through 2 defenders. 50, 40 by 40, 30 by 30. Foot race at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Stays on his feet. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Unreal!
Are you kidding me?
McLaurin!
Oh, my God.
So, Stu and Samter, we got to get, I think his name is Bram Weinstein, who does the games once again. So no one to me is better than Paul Allen. Football, regular season, postseason, play-by-play, not from like a national guy like a Westwood One guy or ESPN guy. I'm just talking about the team broadcasters. I know he, in the game-winning kick last week, it went off the upright. He didn't say that an in. But him and London Fletcher are so damn entertaining. We either got to get London Fletcher or Bram on at some point this week before the NFC title game because they are a fun listen. Like, very entertaining, and if they can find a way to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, their Super Bowl montage with the radio calls are really going to be something. But you take a look back at this one, Jaden Daniels' story, 22 of 31, 299 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, also had 16 carries for 51 rushing yards. I made a degenerate bet this weekend, Stu. I usually only bet spreads. I usually only bet over-unders, and then anytime touchdowns. I was watching the game with my buddy Jason. And I have 3 future tickets, by the way. In the middle of the year, I took Bills to win the Super Bowl, and I took also the Lions to win the Super Bowl middle of the year. I cashed out when Sandra still made that pick, and I never cash out. So I got my money back. I rode the Bills still, so I had that alive. I had a Ram ticket from when we were in Vegas to just win the NFC. I did not cash that out, but that did go down the drain. But I took the over. I've never done like an individual player carry. You know, that's my degenerate bet. And I know most people listening are like, bro, like I do that all the time. But I took the over for rushing attempts for Jaden Daniels, and it did hit. And I also had a parlay in that game. We had Sam Laporta touchdown. We had the over also in rushing yards for Jaden Daniels and the over in attempts. Oh, and then Brown, we had him over for yards. It was like 30-something, so we had a nice little parlay cooking. But you look back at this one, Jaden Daniels, the story. Brian Robinson then for the Commanders also had 15 carries, 77 yards, and two touchdowns. Terry McLaurin, you just heard that touchdown as well. And Brown of the Commanders, six catches for 98 yards, 11 catches, 187 yards, and a touchdown for him in this postseason. Jared Goff, as great as Jaden Daniels was, Goff was the antithesis, 23 of 40, 313 yards passing, a touchdown, though, three interceptions and a fumble. Three other players with one pass attempt. You had Montgomery, you had Teddy Bridgewater, who came in for a little bit, and then Jameson Williams as well. Who had the interception, and Jahmyr Gibbs, 14 carries for 105 yards, two touchdowns, 7.5 yards per carry, six catches for 70 receiving yards as well, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, eight catches for 137 yards. Jameson Williams, even though he had an interception in this game throwing the ball, he also had 61 yards rushing and also one reception for 19 yards. Stu, what's the question here cooking after we give you the audio and all the stats?
Yeah, looking at the Lions, do you think they need an upgrade at the quarterback position?
Well, they can't get out of the contract right now. I saw someone throw out there today. Maybe you trade Stafford back to the Lions to get the job done. And the Rams take Goff because it's a younger quarterback and Stafford's now older, which I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, they could do better at the quarterback position, but Goff is going nowhere because of the contract. He's good, but until he gets the job done and wins the Super Bowl, people are going to look back at 13-3 up against the Patriots, and then they're going to look at this catastrophe that occurred if you're a fan of the Lions up against the Commanders. It's the cardiac Commanders. The Lions are now like the catastrophe Commanders when they look at them right now. Jeez, that was just absolutely brutal. All righty, let's keep it moving. We go to a game I was at, snowy Philadelphia. This was a really fun game to watch between the Rams and the Eagles. Just when you thought the Eagles were pulling away, the Rams then end up almost snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. But when Saquon Barkley had this rushing touchdown, 78 yards, his second rushing touchdown of the day, you thought the game was over as Philadelphia was up 28-15.
Hurts in the gun on first down. He goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards. That'll lock it up.
Touchdown, Saquon Barkley, powered by PNC for the Achiever in you, a 94 WIP.
Merrill Reese with the call, the legendary Merrill Reese. Saquon had a 62-yard rushing touchdown, which I asked him after the game. He looked back at Jared Verse. Jared Verse had a really good game, but before the game, he was calling out the Eagles fans. And that was a fun part of this game because the Eagles fans were going back at him. He was going back at the Eagles fans. And Saquon tried to say that he didn't say anything to him, but the refs later talked to him. So I think that was Saquon just not wanting to admit that he said something to Jared Verse. But Saquon had a 62-yard rushing touchdown, a 78-yard rushing touchdown. Now, the Rams go right down the field. Kobe Parkinson got in the end zone, made it 28-22. Eagles then quickly give the ball back to the Rams. The Rams are moving the ball, and then third down, as they were inside the 15-yard line, you had a big-time play by Jalen Carter, who was just awesome. And he was the difference maker in this one. He was the best player on the field yesterday, and that's even including Saquon Barkley. The Eagles do not win that game if it's not for Jalen Carter. Some stats from this one, Matthew Stafford, and what could be his final game, 324 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Kyren Williams, 106 rushing yards, had a big fumble in this one right after the Rams were able to get a safety on the Eagles' one-point game, and he coughed up the football. Puka Nacua, 6 for 97. Cup, 5 for 61. Rams, they had seven sacks in this one. Jared Verse had two. Braden Fisk, friend of the show, left the game with a knee injury. He had one. And Jalen Hurts, you know, his numbers could have been better. 15 of 20, 128 passing yards, 70 rushing yards, and a touchdown. I think some of the criticism of him is overblown. Yeah, could he be better throwing the football. He also probably should add another 40 yards if A.J. Brown could just catch the ball and a passing touchdown, too, because that would have been one. Saquon, though, the big part of the Eagles' offense, 26 carries for 205 yards and two touchdowns. Devontae Smith, only four catches for 21 yards. A.J. Brown, two catches for 14, but did drop a touchdown. And like we said, the story of this game, Jalen Carter forcing a fumble, also finding a way to have two sacks in the contest. All righty, Stu, what's the question here?
All right, looking at the Rams and Matthew Stafford, what do you think the Rams should do at quarterback this offseason?
Well, if you have it, could we actually play Matthew Stafford after the game talking to reporters? Just let me know when you got it. Matthew Stafford, okay, Stu, he's always on top of it. He has it ready to go. Here's Matthew Stafford talking about his future.
Anytime you come up short, it's even tougher, you know, and so that's difficult. So proud to be associated with this group. And as far as my future goes, I mean, it's 30 minutes after the last game, so I'll take some time to think about it. But I feel like I was playing some pretty good ball.
Now, there was some chatter before the game that could be his last game if they lost. You know, maybe the Rams move off of him. Maybe he retires. Stafford could still sling it. You know, I know he won a Super Bowl. You're playing for the Hall of Fame. I tend to think he'll eventually get in. It seems like the Rams should bring him back, and he should want to come back as well. So that's what I think is going to happen. I would continue to rock and roll with Matthew Stafford at the quarterback position. And then finally, the most anticipated game of the weekend. Bills win 27-25, and we start off the highlight with the Mark Andrews drop two-point conversion that would have tied up the game. Let's listen up.
Jackson will run to his right. He looks, he throws. It is dropped! It is dropped! Andrews was open at the pylon and dropped it. His second drop of the game, and the Bills maintain a two-point lead, 27-25. Andrews was open. The ball hit him in the chest, and he could not hang on going to the ground.
He is going to be sick.
That's Ryan Racky. Sorry to laugh at the expense of Mark Andrews, but Mike Golic was funny. He is going to be sick. Hopefully Mike is not sick with his Notre Dame Fighting Irish tonight as they're going up against Ohio State. We're here in Atlanta for the national championship game, if you can't tell by now. I would love to hear the Ravens radio call of that, honestly, because that to me would be the fun part. You know, the Bills, you get euphoria, but I just want to hear just the misery of the Ravens broadcast, because you can't believe that. Even with all the mistakes that they made, Lamar, interception, fumble, John Harbaugh saying, okay, didn't run the ball enough with Henry and Lamar on Todd Monken too. Even the Mark Andrews fumble earlier in the fourth quarter when they were up by five and down by five and driving. To drop that two-point conversion, you don't necessarily win the game because there's still a minute 33 left. But the fact that you don't catch that to extend the game is just absolutely brutal. And you're trying to recover an onside kick, but it's so tough to do. Well, look at these guys behind the scenes today. Samter and Stu, not that they don't always work hard, but they're really working hard today. You ask, and, you know, you shall receive. Here is the Ravens call.
For the tie, the two-point conversion. Lamar takes the snap, rolls to the right, throws, complete. No! Dropped it! Mark Andrews hit him in the hands! And Mark Andrews dropped it as he fell into the end zone.
Play it again. That's awesome.
For the tie, the two-point conversion. Lamar takes the snap, rolls to the right, throws, complete. No!
He dropped it!
Mark Andrews hit him in the hands! And Mark Andrews dropped it as he fell into the end zone.
No, he dropped it. Mark Andrews hit him in the hands. Oh, geez. That was like a Stern bit with John Hine. Hit him with the Hine. It hit him with the hands. It hit
complete.
Him with the hands.
No,
he dropped it.
Mark Andrews.
Oh, geez. Lamar Jackson, 18-25, 254 yards passing, two touchdowns, a pick. Also had a fumble, 39 yards rushing. Derrick Henry, only 16 carries for 84 yards. Isaiah Likely, 4 for 73 and a touchdown. Rashad Bateman, 4 for 66 and a touchdown. Josh Allen, not the greatest stat line, but the only stat that matters this time of the year is the win. He got that 16-22, 127 yards, and he kept on to that football and did not turn it over. 20 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns for Josh Allen as well. That's another thing. With quarterbacks, with how mobile we are, you got to also factor in the rushing game. You know, people do that with Jalen Hurts as well, where they don't factor in the rushing game when you're just looking at the passing yards because and the passing touchdowns, because that's just how we're accustomed to it. James Cook, 17 carries for 67 yards. Khalil Shakir, 6 catches for 67 yards. And DeMar Hamlin had 8 tackles in this game and a sack. Stu, what's the question here when we look back at Ravens and Bills?
Yeah, so what does the loss do to the narrative about Lamar being a playoff failure?
Well, he's the face of the franchise, so if you are simple-minded, people are basically just going to put this all on him. Like, you know how a few weeks ago when Penn State lost, and I'm the first one to shred Franklin, I'm like, oh, that's not on Franklin. The first person that you think of in that loss is Drew Aller. That's how I feel with Lamar. Like, could Lamar have done things better? Yes. Could John Harbaugh have done things better? Yes. Can Mark Andrews have done things better? Of course. But even though a bunch of people made mistakes, you're still there at the end. And if Mark Andrews just catches the football, who knows what would have happened after that, but it would have been a tie game. So I don't crush Lamar for this one. I walk away crushing Mark Andrews. All righty, that's No Huddle Offense. We are live in Atlanta. One more segment to go, and we got a national championship, and we'll see who wins it tonight between Notre Dame and Ohio State. We'll give you three things to watch for this natty when we come on back in a few moments. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God. We're back.
All righty. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Mike in Massachusetts says, Zach, if Mark Andrews had caught the football, but then the Bills got the ball back with 1:30 left and won the game, then who would you be blaming on the Ravens? That's a good question. You could submit a question by tweeting at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I would say Josh Allen. I know that doesn't answer the question. But if they tie up the game and then Josh Allen just goes right down the field and gets either a touchdown or a field goal as time expires, you just got to tip your cap to Josh Allen. I would imagine there would be a miscue and someone would stand out on the Ravens' defense, which you would probably then blame someone on the defense. You know, could more blame be directed at Lamar Jackson because of the interception and the fumble, or John Harbaugh and Monken not run the ball enough with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson? I guess you could say that, but it would probably be someone on the defense. But if that was the case, you know, I'm not crushing Lamar today. I'm not crushing Harbaugh today. Mark Andrews has been the person that we're crushing. If he catches that ball, you know, I do think there'd be more blame probably directed on Harbaugh or Lamar, but it'd be someone to me on the Ravens defense. You got to see who made the miscue there. But then at that rate, just tip your cap to Josh Allen. All righty, we are in Atlanta for the national championship game. Make sure you follow me tonight on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, not only for behind the scenes of the national championship game, but also like the NFL playoffs. We've been pumping out a lot of good content recently, talking to A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley. I should be at the NFC championship game this upcoming weekend. And then also, we will be in the Super Bowl in a few weeks as well. And let me tell you, I could say this. You know, people have taken the throne at Radio Row, right? Jim Rome used to be the king of Radio Row. Also, Scott Farrell. Farrell on the bench. No one does Radio Row better than me. Shake it up. You know, Sid Rosenberg back in the day used to do Radio Row really well. I'll go pound for pound up against anybody at Radio Row. You know, look at our interview last year with Micah Parsons. You know, we do very good interviews on this show. Eli Manning was really fun. We did the Ice Bucket Challenge, even though that happened 10 years ago. But, you know, we did the 10-year anniversary of it with Matt Ryan. We had Little Dickie on Radio Row. So we do Radio Row as good as it gets. So make sure you tune in for that whole week during the Super Bowl for some awesome, 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 awesome interviews. And our team's working hard to give you the best product. Super Bowl week down in Nolens. Alrighty, tonight, national championship game. Three things to watch for. Ryan Day and Chip Kelly's approach. Michigan and Notre Dame are similar. You also saw a little bit Nebraska as well with their defense when Ohio State struggled. Don't try to win a certain way tonight. Don't try to win, oh, we're tough with the offensive line and we run the football. Use your two outside weapons. Use Abuka. Use Jeremiah Smith. Who Jeremiah Smith's the best player on the field tonight. Don't try to win a certain way. It's a national championship game. No one remembers how you win the national championship game as long as you win the national championship game. Like, no one's going to sit there and be like, oh, Ohio State won the national championship game, but they didn't run the ball enough. They didn't maul you with your offensive line enough. Like, use your stars. Don't get too cute here, even though I would love to see Ryan Day just projectile vomit in a big spot. Will Howard and Riley Leonard, ball security. Both of these quarterbacks, Howard has a higher ceiling than Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard is more mobile, but both have a floor. And we have seen both NIU, Michigan, we have seen both come up small when their teams lose. And then also, I think the biggest key in the game tonight, Notre Dame's going to have to get a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown. They have made big plays in the postseason with their defense and also their special teams. If you don't get a touchdown tonight from defense or special teams, it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough. You know, can Jeremiah Love break out and have a big play? Absolutely. But I really think you're going to need a score from defense or special teams if Notre Dame's going to win. You know, my head tells me Ohio State. My heart clearly tells me Notre Dame. I do not want to see Ohio State win. If Ohio State wins, which they should, you know, tip the cap to them. Salute, respect from where that team was after the Michigan game. I didn't think they were going to be here. You know, the Tennessee game did change the perception about them that they could get here. I said this earlier. I'll say it again. You know, people always expect an unbiased take. You know, I usually don't let my emotions get in the way when I'm picking games, and I'm usually pretty fair. This is my spite pick of the year. All right, folks, that's the bottom line. Notre Dame 23, Ohio State 20. Stu, real quickly, what's the prediction?
I think Ohio State wins. I would say 31-13.
Forget about it. Forget about it. You're a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan. We'll talk to you tomorrow back in New York City. Enjoy the game tonight. Big thanks to John Jansen, Samter, Stu, everyone for putting this together live from Atlanta. We'll talk to you tomorrow in New York City at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.